morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Oh, well, it's supposed to be a little bit less blowtorch by Monday. I'm sensing a repeat.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was more mild, and then
I snuck away during the week last week to up to the mountains outside of Sun River up
there.
Oh,
you missed all the fun.
Deschutes, but it is, it was... Also, Central Oregon is experiencing similar type of heat units for sure. So
yeah,
it has been a hot one out there for sure. Well, it'll be an exciting week coming up, as always. You know, getting prepped for the big weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there will be happenings going on the river. So we've got a fun week. Coming up for sure. Remember, people, when on bridges, please look straight ahead.
Yes.
I know you're tempted to watch boats, but look straight ahead. As always, there will be some entanglements, I'm sure. So, real estate, though, we are jumping right in with our crazy national celebrity real estate story. And this one, McKay, we've actually got a listener submission here.
Ooh.
And you know, one of our avid listeners and fans, none other, you will know him from hockey. This article submitted by one and only Jimmy Butcher.
Ooh.
Coming in with an article he had seen come across Barron's. He had seen an article about Kenny G's former Seattle Mega Mansion.
Ooh.
Now, that property had been sold. He had it built in 95, and then it was purchased by somebody else, I think, only like 5 years later in 99. But this had previously had the highest list price for the highest listed home in Washington State.
Ooh.
So it was at $85 million previously. They just did a $15 million price drop to $70 million, which now, shockingly, does not make it the largest, the most expensive listing in Washington. But of course, over there in the Seattle area, right on the lake, it also, I was laughing at the description. It also, one of the amenities it lists is a four-bedroom staff house.
Wow.
With a commercial kitchen and a wine cellar.
Yes.
And some of the other amenities. Pool cabana, showers, beach house, tennis court, a dock big enough for a 150-foot yacht.
Oh my!
This thing is just crazy. So,
that's pretty nice.
Anyway, thank you, Jimmy Butcher, saving me a little bit of work by bringing, sending over the article for me this week. So, shout out, Jimmy! Can't wait to see you back at the Americans games here shortly when hockey starts back up. Woohoo!
Yep.
So had to give that out there for you. So, McKay, it was interesting. Last week, I had ran a show on the Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I got a lot of feedback from listeners and people that had sent in some questions and some emails for me. And so, we talked a little bit about that. Plus, I had some correspondence with some first time home buyers, and you know, and then I spent some time with. I was sitting around with probably seven or eight. It's not millennials, so am I going to say Gen Z? Is that the next one? Am I going to get this right? After millennials, but home buyers,
yeah,
we'll say under probably 28 years old, and they were talking about. They were pretty dejected. I mean, they were talking about interest rates being where they are and home prices that have appreciated to the point where they're at. And some of them were college students and some of them were working. And it was to the point where they were like, I just don't know how we're ever going to buy a house. I mean, that was kind of the basic thing. And so, of course, I'm in real estate and, you know, I know what a tool it can be for wealth generation. And so, of course, I'm rallying the troops there and I'm like, and I'm going to him, bless you there. And I'm going to him and I'm saying, look, guys, come on, you can do this. Like, I'm giving him the proverbial pep talk about real estate. But then I started to write down some things about, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is my next radio show. These are the questions that I'm getting. So I kind of went back and took some notes about that conversation, and the rules have changed a little bit for buyers over the course of the last 5 years. And I know people are going to say, well, Lance, what do you mean the rules have changed? Well, they might not have changed necessarily, but you have to be more attentive to certain things. And so this is kind of a Lance Kenmore mixture of Tony Robbins and Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman. And so it's kind of mixed together to my big, what is the Kenmore take on how these rules have changed? And so the number one mistake that I see that I told this crowd that we were talking to, and I said to them, the biggest mistake I see your generation make before going to buy a house is that you have to avoid as much as possible or pay it off as quickly as possible. You cannot have a car on your credit report.
Yeah.
Buying a car on credit. So right now, what's happened, similar to housing, how interest rates have gone up, interest rates for borrowing to buy cars has gone up. Those payments are super large, and they're getting worse with the way interest rates have been. So the other thing that I take issue with that is a short-term memory problem that we have with that generation is that people bought cars in 2019 and 2020, and then they actually made money on them. Meaning they drove them and sold them for more than they were worth. And McKay, in any other time in our lifetimes, when was that a thing?
Just about never. Or
just about never, right? And that's going to run its course, supply chain issues and COVID issues and stuff. But it made them think like, hey, this isn't a bad deal, right? I bought a car in 2019 and I drove it and paid it off. And now, gosh, I just sold it for the same I bought it for or more. Like, this blip in history that has clouded their memory banks is a little bit of an issue. It's bad news. Like, we need to get that out of the brain of the buyers. So what happens, though, and I know a number of these kids do that, they might even have a paid-for car. Say they were lucky enough to get a hand-me-down car in high school, and it was still running and paid for and still working. But then they get their first job, and they're doing really well, and they just think that next step is to buy a newer car on credit. But let's look at this. It's not, let's just look at the finances of this real quick and say, it's not uncommon, and I mean, don't hate on me, my car dealer friends. I have a number of friends in car dealers. I'm going to get to the point, the saying that will help you, car dealers. Don't worry. Don't stop listening because I'm saying this. But it's not uncommon for a car to have a $500 a month payment in today's day and age that we would see, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at that and equate that to a mortgage, that is going to buy you in purchasing power of a mortgage roughly $72,000 in purchasing power. Mm-hmm. And if that $500 payment is on your credit report, it is going to be counted against your debt to income ratio.
Yes.
And that means you will qualify to buy $72,000 less of a house. So let's look at say average price point in Tri-Cities running around 430 right now. Mm-hmm. But let's just call it 400 for even math. Okay. And so if you have a car payment that's running that $500, instead of buying a $400,000 house, you're going to buy a $330,000 house. Now, let's even look at first-time home buyers. Make it worse. Let's say you are looking in that range 330, and we take that car, we add that car payment in there. Now you can only buy 260. Well, let me tell you, when you go to look in those price points, the difference between what you can purchase at 260 versus 330 is a big, big difference.
Yeah.
Now, let's imagine you're newly married as well, and two car payments came into the household, and they were both roughly $500, which would not be uncommon. I see this all the time. That is $140,000 of less purchasing power for your household. So if you could be looking at a $300,000 house mm-hmm. with those car payments, without them, you would be looking at $440,000. Okay, if I showed you what you can get for $300,000 versus what you can get for $440,000, big, big difference. Here's what I wrote down, and this is what I've always told people all of the time, my whole career. Folks, buy the garage first.
Yes.
Buy the garage first and the car second. If you buy the car first, you will not be able to afford the house with the garage. You will not even have the opportunity to have the garage. Here's the thing. If you really wanted to be in that much debt, and I would advise you not to be, but if you really did, you are under so much scrutiny for a home mortgage than you are versus a car loan.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you really said, I think, you know, I'm making money on the side, I'm making part-time money that doesn't qualify for the mortgage, I can easily handle that amount of debt, but you went to qualify for a mortgage, you would not qualify for the mortgage if you had the car loan mm-hmm. in that scenario. Now, if you went and got the mortgage first and bought that, a lot of people would then think, well, now I'm not going to qualify for the car. It's way easier the other direction.
Yes.
If you had that mortgage, it is the underwriting requirements for the car loans are way, way lower than they are for the home loans. So buy the garage first and the car second. That's the first thing I spent probably 20 minutes hammering this into all of these kids' heads and what we're doing, especially now, the new rules, new buyer rules. That's the situation you need to put off and be in as long as you can until you can get the mortgage. The second thing that I wrote down, the biggest piece of advice that I gave to this group, was down payments and savings can be seasoned funds. They don't have to be recurring income. So a lot of people are like, well, gosh, why would that matter, Lance? Well, the bigger down payment you have, the lower that's going to make your monthly payment.
Yes.
And it is that much less money that you're going to be paying interest on. So for instance, if interest rates have gone from 3% to 7%, and we look at $50,000, if you can lower the amount that you're paying that interest on, it mm-hmm. will save you significantly over the life of the loan. Plus, it will allow you to qualify for a larger price tagged property, so larger purchase price property. So, and the difference is you can do that through savings, and it doesn't have to be recurring income. So for instance, if you've spent the last 3 years saving and you have, you know, and you've worked extra jobs, let's say that you were driving for Uber outside of your normal business hours, you were taking extra shifts, you were getting overtime on the holidays. And so you built up your nest egg of savings, but you don't want to work that hard forever. That's what you're saying to yourself. So
yes,
but you can put those funds into your savings account. And once they're seasoned, they've been in there approximately, let's just say, 6 months. Every bank and lending institution has different requirements. But once those are seasoned, they will count for you towards your down payment. And you don't have to have recurring income to make up for that dollar amount. So more savings that have been in your bank account longer is one of the keys for buying in this changing market. So those are the first two big points that I gave to buyers in this group for buying in the second half of 2023. lining them up for 2024 purchases. Mm-hmm. I've got the next two big rules and our pick three when we come back from our first break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about what I call the new rules for buyers. Buyers that are truly wanting to buy and 2023 and looking ahead into 2024, and recently had the chance to sit down with a group of fantastic younger folks that were going over questions on what do we need to do, what do we need to be careful about, what do we need to be ready to buy. Before I jump totally into that, though, I do want to get my quick pick three out of the way here. And I got a couple awesome, what I would call multi-generational opportunities here. So to where you could have two generations, you could maybe have some parents or siblings living in different parts of the house at the same time, combining into one property. 4002 South Ledbetter Court in Kennewick. This is a 5-bedroom, 4-bath rambler with a basement in Canyon Lakes on a quiet cul-de-sac, almost 4,500 square feet. You've got beautiful hardwood flooring in the entry. The layout is absolutely awesome because it has dual primary suites.
Mm-hmm.
So giving families an opportunity to comfortably reside together. The main level has a formal living room, formal dining room. The family room has a great gas fireplace, warm and inviting atmosphere. The island in the kitchen, large space for gathering, preparing meals, and spending time together. You've got granite counters, stainless steel appliances, downdraft cooktop, large pantry. Just absolutely beautiful, beautiful setup. Then you go downstairs to the lower level. You've got a huge second family room, additional space for recreation, entertainment, relaxation. Outside, fully fenced backyard offers privacy. The deck off the main level, right off of the dining, so you can enjoy some of those nice Tri-Cities nights, as I like to call them. And then on the lower level, another patio and spot for relaxing and entertaining. Oversized 3-car garage, additional parking, and this is coming in at $729,000. So that much square footage in Canyon Lakes. Great opportunity coming in at $729,000. Pick number two, 1408 South Olympia Place in Kennewick. This is a 4-bed, 2-bath, updated mid-entry home in Central Kennewick's Park Hills neighborhood. Recent upgrades throughout the property makes this an awesome 1,931 square foot property. Fresh new laminate wood flooring throughout the main level area. Low maintenance flooring just adds elegance to the property. You've got the kitchen with all new stainless steel appliances. The exterior of the house has had a fresh coat of paint. Awesome, awesome property. A large wood deck with more opportunities for outdoor entertainment. Extended RV pad for lots of parking. And all of this is coming in priced at $445,000. So just kind of hitting that just sweet spot price point for Tri-Cities. And then pick number three, wowza, the price on this one's fantastic, $350,000. We don't get too many of these that are priced in this range in Richland. 1113 Cottonwood Drive in Richland. This is clean, move-in ready, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, Central Richland Rambler on a corner lot, 1739 square feet. Original hardwood floors in areas of the house, and this has a private in-law suite separate from the rest of the house, with access to its own living area and bathroom. Bright kitchen has laminate wood flooring in it, a dining bar, brick backsplash. And then I'm bringing you this price point and this house with a large detached 2-car garage.
Ooh.
So yeah, 1113 Cottonwood Drive, Richland, Rambler, 2-car garage, $350,000.
Wow.
Not probably going to be here on Monday.
No. It'll be gone.
So anyway, some great, the pick three, all of those are fantastic opportunities and homes in our pick three. Well, back to our buyers that are younger, that want to buy homes like this. So you don't have to be younger. Yeah, I mean, it could be any age group. But being ready to buy, these rules apply. I just happened to take my notes when I was talking to a grouping of these younger college-age kids and moving into their first jobs and took down my notes for what advice are we giving in those situations. So the third thing that I wrote down that a lot of us remember that might have some gray hair and a little bit older, but it's easier to refinance than it is to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not a situation that we've necessarily been in a while. And what people don't understand in that situation is there's been a lot of folks that are missing the right property and the opportunity to be a homeowner because of the current rate. Okay. And so they may qualify for that rate or they may have to wait or put more down like we talked about in the first half of the show. But banks are changing underwriting guidelines all the time. And if people don't think that's true, then they just haven't been around long enough to see the changes.
Yeah.
But there are, it's a moving target. Just because it was one way when you checked into refinancing or lending or a certain bank 2 to 3 years ago, doesn't mean that's the same way it is now. These guidelines and regulations are changing, or the bank is changing direction or doing things differently. But overall, in that situation, I have seen a number of times where refinances get easier. Mm-hmm. So if it is the property you need for a location or a school district or acreage or a barn for your animals, and you find that property, but you are putting off due to that rate, I would say a lot of times, you know, date the rate, you know, marry the property.
Yeah.
So meaning we can change the rate later if we need to in a refinance situation. And you will likely find that situation comes faster and easier than you thought it might be. I mean, I've seen them do waived appraisals on refinances. I've seen no doc refinances where it's literally like, we ran your credit and updated our files and we can send you the paperwork via courier to, you know, to change your mortgage. And so there's new programs coming out all the time. So I think in those situations, you long term, there's opportunities for people to play that refinance game a little bit. So just watch out for those situations. And if all the other boxes are checked, it might be a sign to pull the trigger in the current environment. So that's a big one. The other thing that I was talking to this group about was the big thing is make sure your major systems are in good condition. Your roof, your HVAC, your structural. But I know that you've grown up in an Instagram, Facebook, TikTok environment. The house we find you is not going to look like that. Like those, they have filters. They have changed the lighting. They have editing software. Like I do it myself, I know. Mm-hmm. So we are not going to be in an Instagram perfection world for the house you find. If that's what you're looking for, then save more, work harder, don't buy for 10 or 15 years, and you're going to miss out on all the appreciation that property has and being an owner, because that's how long you're going to have to wait without buying in that situation. So I tell people, and some people are like, and the objection I got in this talk was, well, Lance, some people like just aren't handy and can't do those things. Well, I just fire back and say, well, you can mow a lawn.
Yep.
You can dig a ditch. And if you're so good at Instagram, why don't you get on there and figure out a fertilizer program? Okay. And so like there's times in these situations where the house we find in that price range will not be perfect.
No.
And so, but you have an opportunity to make it close to perfect and find a deal. Your best deals that you find will not look great. But if you can, you know, pay as you go, make upgrades as you go, and live in that condition for now, you can make some changes and build some serious sweat equity. Like, most people can mow a lawn. They can trim a yard. They can, you know, put some sweat equity into those situations. And if you have the time and willingness to do that, you can take those worst-looking properties and probably build $15,000, $20,000 worth of equity with just some maintenance type items.
Yep.
I mean, it could be paintbrushes, it could be interior paint. A lot of it could just be cleaning. The best deals that we see out there don't look fantastic when we first show them to people. Unless it is just a unicorn and somebody has completely mispriced something, which occasionally will happen, but it's not very often. The last point that I'm going to leave you with is, in this market and for buyers, I put location matters again. Newsflash, it never stopped mattering, but it seemed like it for a while. Meaning that just like the car value deal was out of whack that we talked about before the break, meaning that the last 2 years in real estate, 2 to 3 years, for instance, normally in a normal market, the previous, you know, 40 years before that, you could take five houses with all the same amenities, but one backs up to a busy street.
Yeah.
That house should be $10,000 to $15,000 this is like a rough rule of thumb. And you could make the number 25, whatever you want it to make, but I could usually go to that street and tell you within a couple $1,000s it should be. But that went away. Much like the car deal went away, changed, that went away. Meaning you could put that house backed up to a busy street and you could sell it for darn near the same price as the one that wasn't on a busy street.
Yeah.
Mainly because of lack of inventory and number of buyers in the low interest rate market that was so big.
Mm-hmm.
But we're back into needing to pay attention to location. School districts, shopping, quiet streets, cul-de-sacs. Those homes are going to maintain value longer and increase at a larger percentage than their counterparts. So it never really left the industry, but it was ignored for a period of time. And so I would just, as my final parting thought for buying in the next 2 years, we're back to really paying attention to location. So quick summary: buy the garage first and the car second. Down payments and savings need to be larger and become seasoned funds. It'll be easier to refinance than it was to purchase. Mm-hmm. And make sure your major systems are in good condition. The rest, be willing to do some work on.
Yes.
When we follow those rules, there are going to be massive opportunities to buy again, regardless of what the interest rate is in that situation. So, Real Life Radio Show with Lance. That is what we are talking to buyers about in the last week and a half here at the Kenmore team. Getting ready for a huge, huge Tri-Cities weekend next weekend. Excited to talk to you guys on Saturday, pre-race day, and looking forward to just an awesome, awesome showcase for our area over the course of the next week and a half. We will be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.